On that particular note, I need to go to Dr. Hendrik Botha, who joins us on the line. He's the head of institution at Boston City Campus. Welcome, Dr. Botha. Great to have you.
Good to be on this morning, and a good morning to the listeners, and especially to those students that may be affected by this tragedy.
Maybe not a good morning for them, Doc.
Look, it's always polite to start off by saying good morning and then how can I serve you, how can I help you?
I got you, Doc. What I'm noticing is that people are now trying to ascertain, given the fallout from the announcement from the Minister of Higher Education, trying to determine the fiduciary status, financial status, operational status of other colleges in the fear of contagion. How fair would such a position be?
I think it would be fair if I juxtapose this and said, when I consider myself as a client of a bank, and if there's concerns with another bank, I would want to know is my money safe at the bank where I currently am, or whether it's pension funds or anything similar.
Absolutely. So how do people find that out?
So let me start off with the key premises. The regulatory environment is indeed robust. The fact that there's a bad apple and that there's a bad apple that's been weeded out, so to speak, through the regulatory process needs to happen. How it transpired, how it came about, how it's played out, that's not for me to make a judgment on. But let me just say this before we chat about the robustness and how people can affirm this for themselves. Students in that system are still under accreditation. And those programs that are accredited, those students have accumulated those credits, those modules they completed, and they will be able to transfer anywhere, including, for example, to us. So it's not all lost. Yes, it's an anxious moment. It's a difficult moment, but it's not all lost.
You saying, essentially, Dr. Hendrik Botha, head of institution at Boston City Campus, that EduCore is an exception to the rule?
Yes, it's an exception to the rule. If you consider the number of students in the private higher education system is over 220,000. If you consider we've been around as a system, call it, since 1997-99. If you look at the register of institutions, there are more than 150, and they are across the strata or the spectrum, from small, very specialized institutions to larger entities. And if you look at the number that's gone through voluntary winding down, that's very limited. It's a very, very small number. It's probably a handful. And if you consider those that have outright and failed and where the students were prejudiced, that's probably zero. Because the system in itself, including the publics, accommodates by recognizing credits and letting students transfer in, transfer out and transfer in.
Gotcha, and I think that's an important safety net. But let's talk about robust compliance then. Indications are, and this is from WhatsApp messages in, that operational issues raised its ugly head since 2008. We have been receiving messages from students and others, staff, pointing us to issues, to problems. I'm talking about the media kind of generally. Has the robust compliance that you are talking about, was it in place? Was it executed effectively and timeously?
So to be honest with you, I can't speak to the EduCore matter directly. I don't serve on the panels or the committees that deal with the individual institution. But what I can do is just...
I'm not talking about EduCore responsibility. I'm talking about the Department of Higher Education responsibility. Did they respond efficiently?
So again, the department's objective is to build institutions. And where institutions have flailing elements, their intention is for the institutions to go through remedies and remediation to build that up, because it's in the interest of the student, ultimately, and of South Africa, that institutions are well governed, get governed better and better every year, in order to produce better and better graduates that are more and more in demand. So in that sense, I think the entity,
I think if I can save you, it's just suggested that that entities have been flailing for a while, and maybe there could have been a more timeous intervention. That is, I think, the only thing that the messages in are proposing.
Look, hindsight is always a perfect science.
Of course.
So let's say the department did. Let's say the department did act 2 years ago. Then 2 years ago, the question would have been: could it have been 2 years prior to that? Could it have been? But there is a legal process. What is also, I think, a stand-back moment is we will look, the industry will look at itself, and the regulators will look at itself, post this as an event, and to see where further improvements can be made, similar to how the banking industry has been built up over 120-odd years, and similar to how all other highly regulated industries keep advancing to improve the governance of the entire system. So yes, it will be a moment of reflection.
Mm. And do you think self-regulation within the private tertiary institution arena need to self-regulate as well?
Of course, we must play our part to say, how do you aspire to meet standards? Yeah. How do you aspire to be above standards? And there's an element of self-regulation, but that there needs to be a regulator. There's no doubt, because the primary function of the regulator is to protect the students. That's the primary objective here, to regulate. And the regulations play a part in quality assurance of programs and helping to benchmark and set standards. So yes, if we don't self-govern, we can't govern towards, we can't govern towards meeting good benchmarks and good standards.
And it's such an important role that you play in the future of this particular country. So maybe it is good for the private part of tertiary education to come around and to guarantee, you know, that quality tuition that is on offer there.
So one of the mechanisms that assists students to have assurance in that we take to heart and that we've been entrusted with their money is, for example, financial sureties. So at Boston City Campus, we have mega financial sureties. That's not insured by us. It's insured by external reputable registered service providers. For in the case of an emergency event, knock on wood, as in this case, that students can, that the department, and these policies are ceded to the Department of Education, that they can draw down on those facilities to assist students to move forward. So there are various areas where we make a concerted effort to put the right things in place in order to say, we are entrusted with futures and with individuals' monies and families' monies, and we need to account and be protective of that.
And ultimately, it's only education that is going to break the cycles of generational poverty. It is so important, the offering of private players in tertiary education. We're going to go to get a student perspective from Asived Landjwa. He's the national spokesperson of the South African Union of Students. And just again, welcome, Asived. We've been getting calls from both family members and from students at EduCore institutions for a while now, flagging issues. And I'm sure you got it on your side too.
Absolutely. And I probably should start by greeting yourself and your listeners. We have been inundated with calls and emails from students and parents who have since paid. For instance, I spoke to one parent yesterday who says she has paid 2 years in advance at the Milan, if I'm not mistaken. So there has been a huge uproar amongst students and parents which are affected, or at least which have registered at some of the EduCore institutions.
Do you think that the issues at EduCore, as raised by Minister Blade and Zimande yesterday, could have been cauterized, could have been nipped in the bud sooner?
Look, it could have been, as with any other crisis, what is just clear is that most probably if there was integrity and professionalism and honesty within the Educo group, we probably could have been, because some of the things could have been picked up and they could have been able to begin to engage in plans, working also with DHED to be able to see how best do they deal with whatever could be imminent challenges that they could be facing. But they were not forthcoming with information, and as a result, we find ourselves where we are. But really, more than anything, I think it's indicative of a corporate greed that is often at its worst, at the receiving end, is always the poor and the working class that are mostly disadvantaged, because what is clear with Educo Group is that the crisis that they are facing now did not begin a year or 2 years ago. It's been going on for probably the last 4 or 5 years or so. So probably it could have been, but what would have, unlike a public institution where there's an extent to which government can intervene when there's a collapse and they are bound to be reporting to the department on certain intervals, these are private institutions. These are private institutions, and the extent to which the prerogative of the minister would go would obviously be limited based on the fact that these are but private institutions. So probably could have been, but unfortunately corporate greed would reign supreme in this case.
I'm asking, are we as society culpable for the failing of this particular institution, Educor, and its brand? Are we culpable? Are you culpable as the National South African Union of Students? Should you have been a little more active in your pursuit to correct matters at Educor campuses?
Despite the fact that our jurisdiction really is within public institutions, the culpability lies squarely, not with society, not with anyone else, but the leadership and the management of Educo. It is a private entity. That must be understood. If you begin your own business, for instance, whatever business you can be selling, a Makwini or whatever, it is your private business. You are 100% responsible for ensuring that, one, it meets, or that if it, that your product is within the confines of what our legislation provides for, and that it does not harm society, no one else but yourself. But however, that is why we have put, we would have put such regulations in place, such that people must be able to report on certain intervals and that they must meet certain minimum requirements. And though it is exactly those mechanisms that Educo would have bypassed and sidestepped. So a culpability lies squarely on them and no one else. And I think we think they should be held harshly responsible. There's no one else who's responsible for except them. They also had an opportunity, as I'm saying, through the reporting system, they had an opportunity to raise what could have been challenges. Then maybe that would have been a different story. They had come forth and said these are the challenges that they were facing, and that government, the department, and parents and students carried on putting in their monies and their energies. That then they probably could have been culpable. But the students genuinely did not know that Educo had been collapsing.
You're saying it's Educo and probably the board then of Educo being responsible for that fiduciary compliance that was absolutely clearly lacking. Just briefly, tell us about the status of the students now in the wake of this. What is the status of students that have paid for services to be rendered by Educo?
There is a pandemonium in the sense that there is a lot of confusion also as to what is going to happen, understandably so, number one. We don't yet know as to the time frame. We know, obviously, that there are certain provisions in the Act which include the payment of refunds, the granting of academic transcripts, and the placing of students to in either accredited institutions. Those are the provisions that are there. But as to their implementation, we suppose, and that is where we're probably calling on the minister to work with Educo to ensure that, in fact, accountability is sought for these students, and that these measures which I have spoken to, that they are carried out to the letter.
Let's go to Dr. Hendrik Buerta as we wrap up this conversation, head of institution at Boston City Campus. Again, I think just some clarity for people who are wanting to enroll their students at a private tertiary education facility. What should they be looking out for?
So there's formal and informal mechanisms in a nutshell. The formal is you can reach out to the Department of Education, verify the registration status. You can reach out to SACWA, verify the qualifications and their accreditation status, that you're clear about that. You can also, as a consumer, and as myself as a consumer of many other services, including previous education, you can also do your own research by simply scanning the internet for news about an institution, because ultimately credibility is built up through action and how the institution is behaving over time. And that will be reflective on the internet, on various platforms, about the institution, about the experiences students have of the institution. And you can look for publicly available reports on the institution. But ultimately, institutions establish credibility over time. And that credibility vests also in, for example, in order to apply for new qualifications to be accredited and added to the institution, you have to obtain a letter of good standing with the regulator so that the accrediting bodies know where your status is. So an institution that's growing is also an indicator of good standing. An institution that adds additional accreditations for additional bodies to have insight and oversight into the institution is also an indicator that there's not only one regulator, there are other regulators looking at the institution. By way of example, at Boston, we have the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, accrediting programs that do in-depth look at us regularly, annually, and cyclically. We have the British Accreditation Council. So all of these things are indicators to you of health. And you can read reports, for example, about Boston City Campus on the British Accreditation's website to give you an insight into the health and the wellness and governance of the institution.
I think that is a very good advice, if that's where your head is at now, getting your young one enrolled in one of those campuses. Follow the advice as offered by Dr. Hendrik Buerta. Just the other person on the line, Asive Dlanjwa, National Spokesperson of the South African Union of Students, laid the blame on greed squarely. Your response to that?
So the minister made certain intimations, but I'm confident we will hear more about this as the department progresses and the case unfolds more fully.
We appreciate your time, Dr. Hendrik Buerta. We've got to wrap it there. Head of institution at Boston City Campus.